Again, I would like to welcome everyone that is here today. We appreciate so very, very much your presence. We have those that are in the parking lot and those that are in the building. We appreciate so much your attendance here today. We also appreciate those who are watching and listening via live stream. We know that there are good brethren down in Honduras and other states here in Central America, but also in the States. But also our brethren in Zimbabwe, they watch and listen as well. We appreciate very, very much you watching. And we want our, especially our brethren in Zimbabwe, to know that we love you and appreciate you and continue to pray for you. And we hope and pray that the word will continue to have great prosperity and as you preach and teach the word in that place. There are certainly many challenges to being a faithful, dedicated Christian. All of God's people have had to deal with growing their faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17 says. Accepting and trusting what God says versus what I think, how I've been raised, is certainly a challenge to us all. I want to look at David as a beginning example of what I'd like to present to us in regards to the challenge of being a Christian. In the book of 1 Chronicles, and we'll not take the time to read all of these verses, but I hope you go back and you will study them for yourself. You recall the context of 1 Chronicles chapter 13 is David wants to move the Ark of the Covenant. And you remember how disastrous that turned out. Uzzah reached up, touched the Ark, was struck dead. When that happened, the scripture says that David became very angry. I think he was angry at God. But the text also said he was afraid of God. We find out in the 15th chapter that David does his homework. He does some searching. And what he finds out God's will in regards to moving the Ark of the Covenant. David didn't quit serving God because he made a serious mistake. I wonder if many of us might do the same thing as David sometimes. We try to do what we think or believe is right. And there is no doubt when you read the story of David that he moved the Ark of the Covenant in all sincerity, trying to do a good thing. And I think that sometimes we are the same. We're sincerely trying to do a good thing, but then only to have the preacher to get up and preach and call us out for not doing what's right. Many may become discouraged time and time again, listening to sermon after sermon and class after class, and it seems all you hear is how wrong you have been. You thought you were doing good. In fact, you would say you were doing the best you could, or so you think. But the preacher keeps telling me I'm wrong. Growing our faith, getting stronger, having more confidence, it becomes very, very challenging. When it seems that you're constantly getting knocked down or reminded of how little you know and how little you do. Growing our faith, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this simple, basic passage. We hear it quoted a lot. And I think most all of us as Christians know it by heart. Romans 10:17. But today I would like for us, as considering the idea of the great challenge to being a Christian, specifically growing our faith. Yes, faith comes from hearing God's Word. But how well are we listening? Some listen pretty well. Many do not. Our response to God's Word, like in the parable of the sower, depends on what kind of hearts we have. This is something that is a challenge to our growing our faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we all seem to think that we have that good soil that is so pliable and is so accepting of God's Word. And when the seed is planted in our hearts, we believe it's just germinating and it's just bringing forth great fruit. When we have deceived ourselves, and that's not the kind of hearts we have. God's Word transforms us. And that can be painful. As a preacher and teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have learned through the years that brethren have not related the idea of growing their faith as to being painful. We think about growing our faith and it's some kind of romantic island paradise adventure. And it is not that at all. When I read God's Word, I certainly see what God wants me to be. And if I am honest and look at myself, I see that I am not what God wants me to be. That's painful. To transform my life through the power of the gospel is a challenge. And it does not come without pain. For this morning, I want to look at a New Testament example, the Apostle Peter, as an example of someone who was growing their faith, who made lots of mistakes. I guess what we think about the Apostle Peter is probably extreme. We look at him as a great man of courage. The first lesson that we talked about in regards to challenge of being a Christian last Sunday was about courage. And I used the Apostle Peter and the other apostles in Acts 2, men of great courage. And we're not going to take that away from him because he had great courage along with the other apostles. But I think that most of us remember the Apostle Peter more for his many weaknesses. He had a plethora of weaknesses. I'd like us today to consider another side of this man of God. Peter truly had great faith. Peter starts off great when we read about him. He makes lots of mistakes in between. But he ends up serving to the glory of God. You remember in Matthew chapter 16, and we'll just take a short stroll down memory lane here in regards to some scripture. In Matthew chapter 16, you remember that Jesus asked the question, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You remember it is Peter who confesses and says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a good thing. That was a great thing. That was something Peter, he got it right. But do you remember what Jesus said to him? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Have you ever stopped to consider how God revealed that to Peter? So then faith comes from hearing the Word of God. While Peter was a fisherman, that doesn't mean he was stupid. That doesn't mean he was uneducated or unlearned. He understood what the Scriptures, that is the Old Testament prophets, said. And when he saw Jesus and the things that he did, Peter put two and two together what the Father had revealed. And he had faith that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. But I want you to notice in this exact same context of Matthew 16, what immediately takes place. Notice in Matthew 16, if you will, verse 21. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed and be raised up the third day. Verse 22, and Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Now remember, he has just confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus commends him for that confession. And then Jesus rebukes him severely. I would call it a severe rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. That's a pretty strong rebuke. Do you remember what happened just before before Peter made this confession? In Matthew 14, Peter walked on the water. You ever walked on the water? Me neither. And I would suggest that most of us probably don't have the faith to walk on water. Peter walked on the water, did he not? But what do we say? We don't stop there. We don't tell the story this way. Peter walked on the water. Isn't he a great man of faith? Period. And move on. We don't tell it that way. Because that's not the whole story. What's the rest of the story? Peter looked around. He took his eyes off the Lord. He looked around and saw the storm. And what did he do? He began to sink. He began to sink. Jesus rebuked him for his lack of faith. Now I want you to think about this. How would we handle that? Phil's walking on the water. Phil then starts to sink. What would we say to Phil? Phil, man, you were walking on the water. You were doing great. You'll do better next time. What did Jesus say? He didn't compliment him from walking on the water. He rebuked him for taking his eye off of Jesus. Now someone says, well, we're not Jesus. And that's true. Jesus knows Peter's heart. I want you to notice in another passage in Matthew 17... Matthew 17. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration, you remember what happens there? Jesus goes up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And we see there that Jesus is transfigured before them and Moses and Elijah appears. Peter is so excited about this. And we talked a little bit about this before. Peter decides, he says, here's a great thing to do. Lord, let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. A tent of something sacred, memorial to them. And then while he's still talking, God from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Who do you think God was talking to? Peter. What was Peter doing? Opening his mouth, wanting to do something, when God says, "Listen to Jesus." And where I was raised up, that meant keep your mouth shut. What in the world was Peter trying to do? Something good. And what has happened? God calls him out. God calls him out. Would that have discouraged you? John 13. The washing of the disciples' feet by Jesus. That is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture, showing the great humility of the King of Kings stooping and washing the feet of the disciples. When he gets to Peter, remember the story? Peter refuses for Jesus to do that. Now stop and think about that a second. What is Peter thinking to say that? Does he not mean it good? Does he not mean it in a respectful way? Peter's saying, "Look, I'm just a man. You're the King of Kings. This would be wrong for you to wash my feet. I need to wash your feet." Do you remember that Jesus responded and said, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have any part with me"? Do you remember how quickly Peter changed his attitude? "Here, Lord, give me a bath." Do you think Peter was embarrassed in front of the other apostles because of that situation? Do you think it discouraged him? Tense moment. The scene in John 13. All the disciples there. Jesus is there. Jesus is washing the feet. This happens between he and Peter. You're the Apostle Peter. Do you feel your face getting hot? Do you feel your face turning red? Do you look around at some of the other apostles and they're looking at you like, "Peter, man, you did it again. Can't you just roll with it and keep your big mouth shut and do what God wants you to do?" Now, I don't know if they said that, but I know in John 21 there is another great example of Peter doing what Peter does: mess up. This great text of John 21, and I certainly hope that you will take the time to go back and read these occasions that we're referencing. But in John 21, beginning at verse 15, this is the great passage where Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" You recall that text, right? And I don't think it's a coinkydink the fact that Peter had just denied the Lord three times, and three times Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Well, in the process of this passage, Jesus tells Peter, verse 18, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now there's a great thing that Jesus says to Peter. Jesus lets Peter know that he's going to grow old. Secondly, you're going to glorify me in your old age. But he also signified that he was going to be bound and he was going to be put to death. Peter was told his future. But that wasn't good enough for Peter. That wasn't good enough. Verse 20 says, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. This is the Apostle John. The one who also who had leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Jesus said, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, you can read that as many times as you would like. And I think you're still going to come up with the same conclusion. One more time, Peter, wanting to do a good thing, trying to do what's right, he makes a serious blunder. Jesus was focusing what he was saying to Peter, to Peter. Peter wanted to know, well, what are you going to do about this fellow, this apostle? And basically Jesus said, Peter, it's none of your business. You serve me and stop worrying about everybody else. That had to be embarrassing. That had to be humiliating. I'm not sure I've listed all of the mistakes that Peter made, but there is one more I want to mention to you. And that's a number of years later, Paul rebukes Peter. Remember, Peter learns that God is no respecter of persons in the book of Acts, chapter 10. But later, Peter plays the hypocrite. Remember, he had already learned the lesson that God does not show partiality. Gentiles are just as accepted of God as Jews are. Yet later, Peter plays the hypocrite, and in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul rebukes Peter. An apostle rebuking an apostle. That had to be tough. Now, if you were Peter and you were found to be wrong so many times, how would you have reacted? Would you have been frustrated? Would you have been mad? Would you have given up? How many times have you personally, from your spouse, from your children, from your parents, from your boss, from someone, they are constantly pointing to the mistakes you make. And you're in your mind saying, don't I ever do anything right? Don't I ever do anything good? You know, I had great intentions. I really wanted to do what was right. But all you seem to be able to point out is what I've done wrong. I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced that more Christians have stopped serving God for that excuse than anything else. I'm tired of coming to church and being told that I'm not good enough, that I'm wrong, I've done it wrong again, when all I've been trying to do is the best I can. Can you not give me a break? Preacher, can't you preach on love? Can't you preach on something we need to hear that was encouraging? You know, Peter had great faith. Throughout all of this, Peter had great faith. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, this is why I know Peter had great faith. Yes, his confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in Matthew 16. But in John 6, Jesus, beginning in verse 66, John 6, verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And you go back and read the context of all of that. Verse 67. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter. Who's going to speak? Who's going to talk? Simon Peter is going to speak up. Simon Peter answered him and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I am convinced with all my heart that that was the foundation of who Peter was. But faith comes and goes. Did you hear what I said? Faith comes and goes. It can be strong and then it can be weak. It can be great and then it can be small. You know what the difference is? It's our pride. It's our stubbornness. It is our unwillingness to admit we are wrong. Do you ever stop to think that just maybe I am wrong? Just maybe the preacher is right. Just maybe the elders are right. Maybe, here's a big one. Just maybe God knows what He's talking about. Faith comes by hearing. The wise and the foolish man of Matthew 7, they both heard. The wise man did it, the foolish man didn't. Why didn't the foolish man do what he heard? Because he thought he knew more than God did. And so do all of us at times. We think we know better than God. Well, I know God said, but I know this is what we're supposed to do, but well, I tell you what, I know what the law of God says, but I tell you what, if that ever happens to me, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Brother and sister in Christ, it is a great challenge in being a Christian to grow your faith. We must accept the challenge of being wrong. When we realize we are wrong, we need to repent. We need to make the necessary changes in our lives. Become stronger in our faith. Be a Christian of great faith. You know, Peter, according to tradition, was crucified upside down. And as tradition states it, he requested that. They were going to crucify him. But he said he was not worthy to be crucified in the same fashion as his Savior. So they crucified him upside down. And in the end, the Apostle Peter glorified God just as Jesus said he would. What about you? What about me? You ever do anything wrong? Do you want to hear it? Do you really want to correct it? Do you want to be better? Or you just want to hear how great you are and just look the other way? If there was ever a person that had enough excuse to quit, it was Peter. And if we had read that in the Gospels, that Peter had just had enough. All I've done is tried to do my best, and I'm constantly criticized. I'm constantly put down. Now, we know that's not the way it happened. Why? Because Peter has a greater heart than we give him credit for. He had a great heart. And when God comes down on you with both feet, when you've got a good heart, you'll make the change. When you hear God's word and all you do is get mad, you're speaking volumes about you. Well, thank you for listening today. The challenge of being a Christian and growing your faith, I don't know about you, but it's certainly a challenge to me. I'm not saying I'm the Apostle Peter, but I'm in that line of making lots of mistakes too. I hope I just never forget. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This morning, a song of has been selected. We'll sing that. If you need to render obedience unto the Lord in any way, maybe there's someone here that would like to become a Christian. The baptistry is ready. Clothes are ready. If you're ready to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and turn from your sins and to be buried in the blood of Jesus, to be buried in water, to have every sin washed away, there's a great opportunity right now. If you need to make corrections in your life, to have the prayers of the brethren here to pray with you and pray for you, we're here for you and want to help in any way we can. But let me say also, if you are a child of God and you are trying to do the best you can, and you feel like you get knocked down from time to time, just remember, if what you're hearing and what you're listening to and what you're reading is God's Word, it's painful to grow your faith. Don't give up and don't quit. Keep working. It's a challenge. But it's a challenge that you can do it. Peter did it. He wasn't a superhuman. He's just a human being like you and me. We can do it too. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
What can it wash away?